Grace and mercy and peace be to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Savior, born at Bethlehem as our Lord Emmanuel to redeem us. Amen. Text for today on this, the first Sunday of Christmas, is written in Luke 2:25-40. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So far our text. In the name of our newborn Savior, the Bethlehem Christ child, dear friends, one of the most remarkable events that transpires in the course of life in this world is the entrance into the world of a newborn. Parents have been known to gaze down in wonder upon their infant son or their infant daughter, cradling it in their arms, noting its tiny features and saying, here's a little human being brought into being by our awesome God, who's used his creative hand to cause a little baby to be knit together in its mother's womb, brought to full term, and be born. His loving gift to us. You know, that there was a lot of amazement that people also experienced and expressed at the birth of Jesus. Shepherds marveled, didn't they, when they received the announcement from the heavenly messengers of the Lord's birth. And then there were the townspeople of Bethlehem who were told, marveled, when they heard the report the shepherds gave about the Christ child. And then there was the marveling by his stepfather Joseph and his mother Mary, we hear about here in our text, when they heard the things that Simeon said about their newborn baby son. We've now reached the fourth day of Christmas, and we want to continue as Christians to bask in the afterglow of Jesus' birthday and to marvel over it too. Unlike those whose holiday cheer fades almost as soon as December 25th passes by on the calendar, we want to retain the true Christmas spirit and true Christmas joy over that blessed event that took place in the little town of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. As we delve a little bit more deeply this morning into the question, who is this child lying in the manger? Talk about he is indeed the Christ, who was both promised and expected, and he is the Christ who brings peace and a sword. Now, during Advent, we considered, you may remember, a number of prophecies that foretold the birth of the Lord Jesus, which God used to comfort his Old Testament people all through those long centuries, and by those promises, keeping their hopes alive in a coming Savior from sin and death. What happened over the course of time, sadly, is that these prophecies of God were either ignored or forgotten by the majority, and there were many who misconstrued their meaning. Upon their return from the Babylonian captivity, they came to believe that the coming Messiah's mission would be to deliver them from societal evils and from the oppression caused by human enemies. And the concept of a heavenly Messiah come to deliver them from sin, death, and hell was really foreign to their thinking. That being said, there were also still a goodly number of souls, Jewish men and women, retained a good understanding of God's Old Testament promises and who held tight to them by faith. There was the man in Jerusalem called Simeon, told here that he was waiting expectantly for the consolation of Israel. He knew all about how Isaiah had written chapter 40, you know those words? Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she's received from the Lord's hand double, as in double forgiveness, double mercy for all her sins. And he had been blessed, this Simeon, with a good understanding of the true meaning of that beautiful verse. God had also shown Simeon an extra special favor, as we're told here in our text. The Lord had revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that before he died, he would be granted the special privilege of seeing the coming Messiah with his own two eyes. And it happened about a month and a half after Christmas, when Joseph and Mary brought their child into the temple to present him to the Lord. This was in obedience to the law of Moses, which required all Jewish parents to bring their firstborn son to the temple and redeem him with 5 shekels and to offer to the Lord a sacrifice, a custom through which God reminded his people of all the kindnesses that he had shown them when he had spared their firstborn on the night when, remember that story, the angel of death came, the 10th plague, killed all the firstborn of Egypt, but not the Israelites, who had blessed the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb on their doorposts. The Lord was reminding him of that and also reminding them of his special promise that you are the people from whom the promised Redeemer of mankind will eventually arise. So being God-fearing, Joseph and Mary, God-fearing people, they brought in their firstborn son to the temple in obedience to this Old Testament law. That's when Simeon saw him and recognized him to his indescribable joy and delight. Then there was that other person we hear about in our text who, just like Simeon, was living in eager expectation of the arrival of her Messiah, Anna, described here as a prophetess, which means she was an avid Bible student and was gifted with the ability to explain the teachings of Scripture to others in a way that would be for their blessing. And she was a centenarian, over 100 years old, having been married for 7 years and a widow for 84. And when she saw Jesus, she too was overcome with joy and gave thanks to God and began to tell everybody about the Savior. Friends, one lesson we can learn from this, one takeaway from this text, something truly to rejoice in, is that in every period of world history, God preserves for himself a faithful remnant of believers, men, women, and children, who rejoice in and draw comfort from his gospel promises. Also, in the midst of the spiritual darkness of our own present day, a world that's unspiritual, has little regard for spiritual things, devalues God's word, our gracious God preserves his Simeons and Annas, people like you, able to recognize the one whose birth we've just celebrated as your beautiful Savior, your priceless treasure, and your truest friend. Another takeaway from this text, did you notice Luke's description of Simeon and Anna, besides that they were both quite old? Simeon's described here as a man who was just and devout, so he was a man of piety, who sought to glorify the Lord by living a sanctified life rich in good works for the Lord's praise. And Anna, similarly, is described as one who never left the temple, but worshipped the Lord night and day, fasting and praying, so serving the Lord and worshiping him with a joyful and thankful heart. I don't know that she was living at the temple, but it's like the kind of person, you went to the temple, there was Anna, worshiping the Lord and praying and meeting with God's people there. So two devout believers whose greatest joy was to worship and serve their Lord. And they serve in this respect, don't they, as a fine example for you and me. And here's a good prayer, call it a resolution, but I like prayer better. A prayer for you to offer as you approach the end of the old year and enter soon into the new, that the Lord continue to bless you with the piety of a Simeon and Anna, with hearts that desire to serve the Lord night and day, worship him at his temple, look to his holy word for guidance, strength, glorify him in the nuts and bolts of everyday living, in the workaday world, in your attitudes and words and in your actions, just like Simeon and Anna, to the glory of God. We also want to go on to take a closer look at that beautiful song of praise that Simeon offered to God upon taking the Christ child up in his arms, the song that we've come to call the Nunc Dimittis. That's Latin for "Now let me depart," which we sing towards the close of every communion service here at St. Paul, and we also will be singing it according to a different melody at the end of this service. When Simeon saw that child Jesus and recognized him, realized what his stupendously wonderful work would be, he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So Simeon was saying, "Lord, this tiny 4.5 week or 6.5 week child in my arms, he's the one that you sent to give his life as a ransom for all my sins and to break down that dividing wall that exists between you, my holy God, and me, a poor, unworthy sinner. And now we have seen this child, the Savior. I'm ready. I'm ready to depart in peace whenever you will. I know that I will be blessed to live in your presence forever. And not just me, but all who trust this child, whether Jew or Gentile. Small wonder that Joseph and Mary, when they heard this from Simeon, marveled at what he had said about their little child. And we join them, don't we, in marveling. In fact, that's what we do every time we sing the Nunc Dimittis, don't we? We marvel. We express our confidence that thanks to Jesus, in whom we've become God's beloved children, we can head out the doors of the church after the service is over. We can depart, go back to the tasks of daily life with a sense of peace in our hearts, serving the Lord with gladness in our daily walk of faith. And yes, we're also ready to depart the world in peace when God wills, because of the gift that He's given to us in the Christ child, our Savior. And how would He accomplish this awesome feat of winning for us heavenly peace? Well, you know, but in our text, notice how Simeon, after speaking the words of the Nunc Dimittis, turned to Mary and spoke to her in rather cryptic terms all about this. He said, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon was saying, "Mary, this child that you and Joseph have presented here before the Lord at the temple, he's preordained to endure some very difficult things. Starting already, I don't know if he had this in mind, but you know what happened not long after this? King Herod would take measures to try to slaughter the Christ child already as an infant. By the way, did you know today, December 28th, what day this is on the church year calendar besides Christmas season? I didn't know, I had to be reminded. December 28th is Holy Innocence Festival, when we were reminded of what happened there. Jesus was, I think, 2 years old. The story of the Magi and Herod wanting to kill Christ, or tried to. So Simeon was reminding Mary there would be some difficulties. Joseph and she would have to flee to Egypt. And, of course, then later on, when her son would be suffering a bloody crucifixion death on the cross, and she would stand below that cross, it would be, as she witnessed her son writhing in agony, like a sword would be thrust through her soul. So the message of your son's cross also can be a very painful thing that you will witness when he dies on the cross. The message of your son's cross, however, will have twofold effect. Also words that he said to Mary that day, "Some will find in him their one and all, the answer to all your hopes. They'll rise up in faith, love Jesus, find in him joy and delight. They'll sing happily, 'Christ is our cornerstone. With his true saints alone, the courts of heaven are filled. On his great love, our hopes we place, of present grace and joys above.'" There will be others, however, who stumble over the gospel message of a Savior sent by God to this world to deliver us from sin, death, and hell. It will become for them a rock of offense, too hard to accept. They'll speak against it, they'll oppose it, even persecute those who love it. Be like Jesus would say later on during his public ministry, remember? He said, "Do you suppose I've come to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her son-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household." Jesus was not contradicting here what the Bible says in other places, those gospel truths we hold so dear. He is the Prince of Peace, come from heaven to reconcile us to our Father. He was affirming that as the gospel message would go out into the world, a fallen world, some would receive it in faith, but some would reject it in unbelief and would even be the cause of divisions within family circles. And yet, what would cause Mary such sorrow, marvel of marvels, would be, it would also be for her a source of greatest joy. What happened on the cross on Golgotha meant that she would be saved, just like with Simeon, just like with Anna, just like for you. So let's remember that, friends. Little Lord Jesus, sleep on the hay, that we praise this Christmas season, is the Jesus who is destined to bear our sins on the cross, cross of suffering for him and the pains of hell we would endure, numbered with transgressors for our eternal peace. And as we spread the good news of the manger child born on earth to be our Savior, let's be ready, yes, also, if we need to bear swords, sometimes thrust into our souls as we stand up for the Lord and his word. And may it not come as a surprise when sometimes maybe we might hear it said, your beliefs rooted in the Bible are so antiquated and obsolete, even offensive to my modern sensibilities. Might even be on the receiving end, as ever happened, sharing your faith, angry words, looks from those that have not yet been brought to put their trust in Christ. But let our joy be that God will always use this gospel message of the Christ of Bethlehem to cause many to rise up in faith, to bring souls comfort, to strengthen them, and to inspire them for their walk of faith, for his praise, just like the Lord did for Simeon and Anna. And when the day arrives, they will then be able to say, as he did, as we can, and we will, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Restore to me.